Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need. Whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding, we always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life. Really my fashion the most, but of course home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Hill Squad. All right, friends, we're back. Part two of my conversation with Lewis House and his new book, The Greatness Mindset, Unlock the Power of Your Mind and Live Your Best Life Today. We're going to continue on with a whole conversation about success versus greatness and his definition of those and so much more. Enjoy.
Let me define the difference between success and greatness, because I think a lot of people get this mixed up. Success is what I wanted my whole life and I accomplished it, and yet I was still suffering. So I was like, well, why do I want more success if it's going to lead to more suffering? Mm-hmm. And success by itself is a selfish act. It doesn't mean it's bad. It's just, it's about what I want, what I desire, what I need, what's going to make me feel good. I want to accomplish this goal and that goal and have this thing or that thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I feel like greatness is tied to service. It's tied to others. It's not tied to self. It's doing what you love, accomplishing the things you will love in the service of others as well. And however you can do that with your art, your music, your business, your sports, or whatever it might be. And when we just flip that distinction, it's not about what I want to fill my ego. It's what I can accomplish because of my talents and my gifts to be of service to more people. And I think when we shift that, it takes a lot of the pressure off of us having to look good, having to win, having to accomplish, and just focus on service. Now, it doesn't mean we neglect self. That's why I say we got to make sure that our self-care is still high and our inner peace is still high so that we can serve more people. But then that cycle will give us more energy, more abundance, more flow, and more good will come to us when it's not just about me, but about we. And so one of the things that I have in the greatness mindset of this kind of graph on page 201 is to reveal past pain and the top. If you conceal past pain, you're storing memories in your body, right? You're storing trauma, anger, frustration, resentment, this poison that will either take over our psychological brain, our emotion, or our physical body.
Yeah, or manifest into tumors.
Right? Exactly. And it doesn't mean you're bad or wrong. It just means this is what we've caused. And there's a lot of books about success and mindset out there, but I've never really seen them talking about revealing past pains. And it doesn't mean you have to reveal it to the world. We have public platforms, so this is something we've done. But I don't encourage people to talk about these things on social media unless that's part of their mission and it's part of like their platform. But really do it in a safe, contained space first. Talk to a close friend that you trust or a therapist or someone that you really trust and reveal these things and get the secrets out in whatever way you can. Because I feel like it's just going to manifest into something that's going to hurt you later if you don't. Yeah. And it hurt me in a lot of ways. By being reactive, by being angry, by thinking, how can I one up everyone else? How can I win to make sure that I feel like I'm enough? As opposed to, how can I make sure everyone wins around me? And that's why 10 years ago, when I started this show, after I started The Heal, I was like, oh, it can't be about me. It has to be about everyone else. This is like the ultimate challenge for me, not to make it about me. It's not going to be my name on the show. It's going to be the School of Greatness, and I'm going to feature everyone else who's great. Yes, I'm going to interview, and so my name is on the show, but it's not the show. It's my name. There's nothing wrong with that either. That's just what I needed at that time. And I needed to elevate voices and not make it about me. And you know, that's what Oprah's done. She did a great job at that. And by shining the light on others, usually there's a reflection as well. But it's all from the intention. Okay, how can I collaborate, not compete? How can I make sure others win? And then I'm going to win as well. As opposed to what can I do to win myself? How can I beat everyone? How can I be number one? How can I look good and be right? And I realized that was the cause of a lot of the inner suffering, the pain that I had. I just didn't know how to transition it into healing and how to transform it, like we talk about there.
So when you're concealing your past, so it's funny you say that because we're in that moment right now where my husband is like, I don't think you've properly dealt with all of the traumas in your life.
Really?
Like, what are you talking about? I've been doing therapies and everything for 10 friggin' years, or at least the last six solid hardcore. Like I've done everything. And he's like, no. He's like, if I asked you, did that person wrong you, you still think you had a role in it? And I'm like, yes, because I believe everybody has a role in things. And I'm very fair and justice oriented. And I'm like, and he's like, Maria, I was there. He goes, it was so unjust and so cruel what X and X and X and X and X did to you. He's like, but the problem is you still think you had a role in it, right? It's like the abuser, you know, you think you did something wrong.
Right.
And then it just started making me think that, you know, my dad and I both are very similar. Something bad happens. It's in the rearview mirror.
Really?
We don't even look at it. We don't think about it. We just keep going forward. But it doesn't mean it's still not there, right? I might be a few miles away from it now, but it's still in there. And as I'm trying to reconcile all the things that have gone on in my body, and I know that, you know, I was a caretaker for 5 years with my mom, and the tumor that was in me was in there for a while. And then I believe COVID had its fun with it and all of that. But I don't want anything else. So I think I have to go back in and see if there's anything left to clean up. And maybe that approach that's just kind of organic to me is just let it go and move on. I don't think about these people that have hurt me. I don't talk about them. My husband laments over them. And I feel like he hates them. He wants to kill them all. He's so upset by them. So we're complete opposites.
Right.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to live in it. I don't want to think about it. It's all he does. And so.
But is it you don't want to talk about it because it doesn't feel good?
It doesn't feel good. And I just don't want any more pain.
Yeah. So if you talk about it, will you feel pain?
Yeah.
Some situations.
Yeah. Some of them have healed. I did some EMDR around them. And like those, there were certain things I couldn't think of without crying. And now I'm pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But even just touching on it right now, I can feel a hint of it coming where I'm like, oh, fuck. When you're on the go 24/7 like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom for a while now, as you know, I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs, and everything in between, but it's time to make your life a little easier. And to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there. This little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're gonna love it. All right, friends, let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past, but as you know, I am focused on my health these days, and I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor, and it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios, and then I got addicted, and now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're going to love them. I remember my mom always struggling with her hair. It's frizzy, Maria, my mom would say in her Greek accent. Diehis, what do you have? I tried so hard to find her products. I wish I could share these products I'm using now with her because I know she would be so happy to finally have good hair days. I've always believed that hair is a woman's best accessory. And with Way's new anti-frizz cream, you can ensure that your hair always looks its best without the frizz stealing the spotlight. It's a lightweight cream that not only provides immediate frizz control, but also helps prevent heat damage. And get this, it lasts up to 72 hours. That's 3 whole days of frizz-free, gorgeous hair. Way seriously has some of my favorite products for taming the frizz. Pro tip, one of my biggest discoveries is using the Way hair oil on the ends of my hair before I dry it. Let me tell you, it's a game changer. Once it's dry, my hair looks so smooth and polished, I don't even need to do anything else. It is incredible. I love it. Frizz-free, up your schedule with Way. Go to the Way, theouai.com, and enter the promo code HEALSQUAD for 15% off any product. That's the Way, theouai.com, promo code HEALSQUAD. Trust me, you won't regret it.
Well, I mean, yeah. I got to a point where, you know, I would stutter and tremble when I was telling a friend and my family members about sexual abuse.
Do you feel like, cold? Like, well, I was just my like, body gets cold.
And, yeah, I mean, I just I would, I'm more sweat. I'm more sweat. You know, okay. I sweat. But I would, because I opened up about the sexual abuse, which was, no one knew for 25 years, right? And I wanted to tell people, but I was so afraid and I didn't know who I could trust or anything. So I opened up about it in this workshop in a kind of a safer container, and other people were being vulnerable about other things. So it kind of gave me permission to talk about it, even though I was still terrified. I still thought my life was over. And one of the most beautiful things happened after I shared, there's maybe about 40 people in the room when I shared. And there was a moment of this workshop where the trainer, the facilitator said, okay, we've gone into the past and we've addressed stuff from your parents and childhood and whatever has happened in your past. And we've talked about it. We've let it out in these different exercises. And now we're going to move forward into the vision that you have for your life. We're going to create the vision if you're not clear on it. And we're going to start acting in accordance to manifest the vision. But if any of you have not shared something that you need to share, now is your moment. And I remember thinking, oh, okay, I've addressed everything. I've talked about like my brother going to prison, you know, and me visiting a prison for almost every weekend for 4 years. I talked about the pain my parents went through and them going through the divorce where, you know, but lots of people's parents have gone through divorce. So I try to diminish these things, right? Talked about being picked on, being in special needs classes, like all these different things, breakups and heartbreaks from girlfriends in the past, all that stuff. And I was like, do I need to tell anything else? And then the memory of being sexually abused in a bathroom when I was 5 came to me and I go, why have I never told this story? Why have I never talked about this? Why have I been so afraid of this? And for whatever reason, that the environment, the setting, the energy was like, okay, I just stood up and I walked to the front of the room and I just started speaking. I didn't even raise my hand. I just stood up and walked the room. Ooh. And I remember I was looking down. There was a carpet like this. I just looked down, standing up in front of like a half circle of the whole audience, the room. And I looked down. When you're in shame, it's really hard to look someone in the eyes. So I looked down at the carpet the whole time and I was able to like be calm enough to say the entire story ever out loud. And I kind of shared the story and then reenacted the kind of the whole scene. And then I remember walking back to my seat, sitting down, and there was 2 women on each side of me. And I kind of looked over to one, she's bawling. And I start like bawling, she's hugging me. The other girl next to me, she's crying. They're both like kind of giving me this hug. And I'm like, howling. I've never cried this hard because I just like start erupting.
Oh, I can feel and, it literally like I'm here.
Yeah. It's crazy. And it was like, and I remember just saying, thinking to myself, my life is over. That's how it felt. My life is over. Like, and I ran out of the room after a few moments. I was like just crying. I couldn't control myself. I felt ashamed. I felt embarrassed, all these different things. I run out of the room. It was in kind of like a hotel here in LA. I run out and I go outside. And there's a, kind of like an alleyway and I just go walk across the alley. There's a big wall. I put my head against the wall and I just start crying. I'm just like bawling. I'm letting it out. I'm ashamed. I'm like, I'm not going back in there. I was like, there's no way I'm going back in there. And there was like two or three more days of this workshop. And I was like, I'm done. I'm out of here. And maybe it took a couple minutes. I'm just bawling and crying on this kind of like wall, just ashamed and just like, man, my life is over. And I get a tap on my shoulder and I turn around. It's a man who is about my size. I'm a big guy. He's eye to eye with me. He's probably in his mid 50s. And he turns me around. He grabs my shoulders and he goes, "You're my hero." And he just stares at me. He goes, "You're my hero. This happened when I was 11.
Oh.
I've got three kids. I've been married for however many years. No one in my life knows. I've never had the courage to do what you just did." We're crying. I'm hugging him. And then one by one, the men who were in that room came out and each one of them told me a story of something. Few of the guys had been sexually abused, but other people had other stuff that was like, what is going on? And what I realized that was just a lot of men in general never share these things, never with another man. Like they'll never say this to another man. And it was one of the most healing experiences I've ever had, having other men say this to me and say, "I trust you even more. I'll follow you anywhere. You're my hero." I was like, what? I just shared the thing that I was most ashamed of.
Most scared.
Now you want to be my friend more? I was like, I never even know that was possible.
Yeah.
And
I thought this goes the other way.
Right. I thought I'm like outcasted for the rest of my life. And I remember I finished the workshop a few more days or whatever. And I'm starting to process things. And I remember saying to myself, okay, I got it out. I think I'm good. But then I was like, but if I can't share this with my family, then it still has power over me, this feeling. And so I remember talking to a therapist friend at the time, telling them and saying, I don't know what to do, how to talk to my family about this. And she gave me a great piece of advice. She said, none of them were in LA. So I was like, I'm going to call them. I'm not going to see them in person. She said, give them a call and say, I have something I want to talk to you about that I'm a little worried about, but I want to ask you a question first. The question is there anything I could ever say or do that would make you not love me? Because I was really afraid that they wouldn't love me.
Wow.
Is there anything I could ever say or do that would make you not love me?
Great, great way to start, because you also let them know, hey, if you say something horrible, then this is what you're really saying.
It doesn't mean you may not be upset or frustrated or angry or whatever the thing is, but do you still love me?
Yeah, you remind them in a weird way that love is supposed to be the core here.
Exactly. And they all said yes. Right away. They were like, there's nothing you could ever do or say that would make me not love you. And so that gave me permission to be able to talk about this thing. If they were like, well, it kind of depends, you know, then maybe it wouldn't be the right timing to share. So you want to make sure you're in a safe space to do this. Mm-hmm. But it was so hard for me to talk about it with my family. And
who's the toughest?
Probably my mom, you know, because it was a babysitter. You know, it was like after school. And she found the babysitter, and it was the babysitter's son, who was like a 16, 17-year-old. And so I waited for her for last. And she took it hard, you know, for probably like, I don't know, months. She was sad. She was grieving. She was sad. She felt like ashamed. She felt all these things. But I knew, and I didn't want to, part of me wanted to protect her and not tell her, but I was like, it's going to be healing for both of us, you know? And it's part of the process. But I remember saying, okay, I should feel a lot better. I've told my family, but I was like, I could never tell any friends. And I was like, man, this thing still has power over me then.
Lots of layers.
And so I started telling one by one my friends. And again, I was so nervous that I was like, these guys are not going to hang out with me anymore. They're not going to like me. They're going to judge me. But it just brought us closer. And it took about a year, year and a half to where I could talk about it, to where it wasn't affecting me in my core. I could have sadness around it and I could feel it, but it wasn't having power over me anymore. And so my only thought is, and I'm not saying you need to be able to say these things to everyone, but can you talk about it with a friend or your husband and say these things that hurt you? Can you speak about them to where it doesn't affect you deeply as much? And I think when you can do that, it doesn't mean there wasn't wrong what these people did or wasn't bad or horrible, but can you speak about it in a way where you can see it from a different perspective, create harmony around it, and not let it affect you? I think that's another level of healing that I've experienced. And it doesn't mean it may not make me sad sometimes for that little boy inside of me, but it's just not going to make me tremble and shudder thinking about it or talking about it.
Yeah.
So
maybe that's the litmus test, is if you can talk about something without getting emotional, maybe it has less power over you than it did.
I think it does. Yeah. From my personal experience around this, but we're all on a different journey. So there's no right or wrong here. I just don't want these previous memories to own me anymore. As Dr. Joe talks about, and Viktor Frankl and all these individuals, it's about creating the new meaning around the painful moments. Mm-hmm. You know, the meaning of the sexual abuse, for me, it was sad. It was horrible. It was like unforgivable. All these things you want to say, it sucked. And it really split my personality in a way that fractured me psychologically for many years around relationships, around friendships, intimacy, all these things. And it caused me to defend and protect myself and get bigger and faster and stronger. And so there was some benefit, but it caused a lot of pain and suffering as well. Mm-hmm. And so I just had to go and create new meaning around that pain and say, well, now at this stage of my life, it's given me a deeper sense of mission and service to be able to help others. And it was horrible and it sucked, but thank God that I was able to get through it. And I'm at this other end now, and I have peace around it now. Just trying to create different meaning around it so that I can feel peace and harmony as opposed to pain and frustration.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a Reiki healer. I was dealing with a lot of a troubled relationship with a sibling, the only sibling. And she said, younger, yeah. And she said, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. She said, do you think if he hadn't been that way, you would have activated as quickly as you did and succeeded as young as you did? And I was like, oh, no. Are you saying I need to owe my success to him now? Because, but I realized, I was like, okay, that led me to be who I am and overachieve and escape a situation. But then I escaped the situation, just kind of stayed. Right. So then you had to figure out how to deal with that. But you know, the bad things that happen in life do activate us in different ways. So we're grateful, like you activated and became super successful and super powerful and all of that. And then you do realize, I try to explain to people sometimes, and I love your definition of success versus greatness. Like, we can achieve success, but then it's empty. Mm-hmm. And so then you have to go on those other journeys that take you to fulfillment and true kind of peace.
Yeah. I don't know if you know Wayne Brady? Have you connected with him over the years, being Wayne Brady?
The entertainer Wayne Brady. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Whose line it's in anyways.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. He's awesome.
I don't, have you ever met him or talked to him? Yeah. You probably interviewed him a bunch and stuff.
Yeah. I love Wayne.
This guy is
like, joy.
I feel like I grew up watching this man and I just laughed every time I watched him. He's brought so much joy to the world.
Yeah. Right?
I just had him on the show recently, and I asked him, the first question I asked him is, what have you learned? Because he's been in this business for, I think, 30 years, and he's been super successful and top of the game at what he does. And I said, what have you learned about money, fame, and happiness? And he said, I haven't figured it out yet. You know, for most of my life, what you saw on TV was me doing a job. That was my job. But afterwards, I was frustrated or angry or depressed or didn't have good relationships and these things. It's because I was always running away from something. I was running away from the pain of my past, and I was chasing success, chasing money, the next gig, the next opportunity. I was running away from something and chasing something. And he's like, it wasn't until the last couple of years where I actually started to unpack and do therapy and do these things to where I wouldn't be so depressed as well and start to find more joy and fulfillment in what I'm doing. I go, that's so fascinating, because you look like you're the happiest man alive. Mm-hmm. And you're so good at what you do, and you bring so much joy to so many people. And I think it's just like, yeah, but if you're still running away from things and you're chasing something to fulfill that void of what you're running from, then you're just always going to be chasing and always going to be running. And it's never going to feel enough, and you're never going to feel good enough. And that's why I like to do this scale of like the self-love and inner peace scale. It's just a barometer, not to make you right or wrong, good or bad, to just say, are you where you want to be? And then on page 201, are you doing the things? Are you overcoming the things that make you feel powerless? And a lot of it is like, people aren't willing to reveal past pain to anyone. Mm-hmm. They have anger, they have frustration, they have sadness, but they're not willing to reveal the root cause. You talked about having the right team of doctors and individuals that can get to the root when you need to. And I think we got to be focusing on that emotionally and spiritually and psychologically as much as possible. The body keeps the score. Disease is, I think, a lot of it, most of it is caused through the way we think and how we feel about ourselves or feel about other situations. That's how it manifests. And we just got to be willing to heal past pain. And if we can speak about these things like we're just taking a sip of coffee and having a chat with someone, not diminish the pain, but process it to the point where, okay, I've processed it. I didn't like it. It was not fun. The person hurt me and wronged me, but now I can speak about it from a different perspective. I just feel like that's when you get your power back. And then you have energy to do the meaningful mission. You have more clarity, more focus, more flow. Things come and go, and you can direct your energy to a mission that serves others and you, yeah, as opposed to being distracted or hurt or thinking this person did this, I'm just going to block it. This person did this thing, that frustrates me. You know, okay, yes, allow it to be frustrating you and then process it and move on.
Yeah, because you're carrying so much.
Carrying it.
And so it's weighing you down. It's exhausting you. And then you don't know why you don't have the energy to go after what you want.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so I marked that page because I thought that was great. And I really liked this. All too often people focus on how when they should be thinking about what they really want to do and why.
Yeah.
When you do that, the how will follow. Exactly. And I was like, ooh, good, good, good one.
That's true. I'm thinking about expanding my, you know, and I still struggle with this today. I was talking to a billionaire real estate mogul recently, and I was like, yeah, you know, I've got this like office space and we're starting to outgrow it, but you know, maybe I'll just double the size. Like I have this big vision to serve 100 million lives weekly to help them improve the quality of their life. But I know I'm going to need a bigger team in order to fulfill that vision, that mission. But I've been incrementally like growing my space to have the container for people to be in to support the mission. And I was like, yeah, I've got like, I don't know, I think it was like 6,500 square feet right now, office space and a studio. And I'm probably going to look for like, I don't know, 12 to 15,000 square foot office space. Cause that's what's comfortable. It's like, okay, it's a little bit farther. And he goes, you should be looking for 65,000 square foot. Wow. And I go, what? And I go, but how am I get the money? He goes, don't worry about the how. He literally said what I was saying here. He's like,
yeah, it's so hard to apply to yourself sometimes.
But if I was like, yeah, but that's going to cost like how many millions of dollars and this and that.
You're like, no, I've thought about the how and it sounds crazy. Yeah. It sounds hard.
He goes, don't worry about the how. He goes, fine. Set the vision for what you want. Find the space. See what spaces are out there and find the exact space you want within 5 minutes of you. Like optimize your life and find the space. And I go, yeah, but it's going to be, but then how am I going to get the money? He goes, stop thinking about the how. Find the space, see how what you're going to be doing to be building into it and the experience it's going to be. And you're going to draw the how to you, just like Dr. Joe talks about.
Yeah.
And I was like, but it's just, how do you do that? You know? And so it's, you know, I got to do this for myself too.
Yeah, well, because every level.
That's it.
Comes like a new fear, that's a new it. Challenge, a like, oh my gosh, can I?
Exactly.
And so we have to kind of recheck ourselves. And
so I was on the phone with my coach last night, my therapist last night, and I was having this the exact same conversation. And she goes, do you remember a year ago when you expanded your office space? I go, yes, I do. From like, I don't know, it was five times the money of the rent a month. And I was like, gosh, that's a lot of money. And she was like, well, what's it going to be like when your whole team is there and you're able to collaborate and you're not tight and closed off in a small space, but you have expansive energy and thinking? I go, it's going to feel amazing. It's going to be buzzing. The energy is going to be flowing. We're going to be creating stuff. We're going to be moving and we're going to be expanding the business. She goes, great. And step into it. And so she had me reflect on this from a year ago going into that process. And she goes, maybe it's not 65,000 square feet, but maybe it's 30,000 square feet, yeah, or whatever it is. But, and you're going to imagine what it's going to be like having this team and all these different shows and this network and all this stuff that you want to do and start stepping into it. You know, and the how will come somehow or won't. And, you know, I'll get closer to it and there'll be another time, but
you've done it before.
Exactly. I've done it multiple times.
There's blueprints there.
It's like, this is stretching me emotionally, financially, it's stretching me, but what is my myself in 10 years going to say? He's going to say this was the best decision ever. And maybe you're going to feel a little stretch for 6 to 12 months, but then it's going to feel like nothing. You're going to get used to it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to help you expand. And so it's stepping into that vision now. It's not doing something so crazy that's like out there and putting myself in a bankruptcy, but it's like, okay, the how will come if you start visualizing it and stepping into it.
As a first-time mom with a baby, I'm always on the go, whether it's running errands, getting my coffee, going to doctor's appointments, or just spending quality time with little Athena. And that's why I rely on Wonderful Pistachios to keep me fueled and ready for anything, no matter where I am. Kevin even keeps a bag stashed in the nursery. You know, for the nighttime hunger moments. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, making them the perfect snack to have literally any time, whether I'm enjoying them during a quick break in between taping this show or I'm on the go and it's in the diaper bag. I do carry it in my travel bag and they're in my car. At this point, when I'm leaving the house, I think keys, wallet, Wonderful Pistachios. Bonus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts with 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. So on top of all that, they keep me feeling satisfied. I'm energized while I'm juggling all this crazy stuff in life. Next time you're looking for a convenient and guilt-free snack, head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com and stock up on your favorite flavors today. Mine is the sweet chili.
I think we underestimate how we feel. Right. So if your setting is not making you feel good, you're not going to produce on the level you want to produce on. So even us, we didn't know if we were staying, we were going, and why put more money into the house if we're not going to stay? So I hadn't even gotten curtains in certain rooms. Like I was dealing with like cheap blinds. I'm like, I'm not doing anything. They might tear this thing down. I don't know. And then we realize we're going to stay here for a minute. Built the nursery. The nursery came out so pretty. Wow. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel so good in this room. It feels so beautiful. Kevin goes, go through the rest of the house and do what you did in here everywhere else. So I've been doing things in the other. Yep. That's just great. Going through the house and I'm feeling so good. Mm. And what does that do? That lights you up. That makes you want to go make more and do more and be more. When you're kind of living in squalor, not that I'm living in squalor, but like when you are living in a place that's not making you feel good, mm-hmm. you're not going to do good. It's just not going to happen. And every person can tell me that living in a mess is fine for them, but I don't believe that it gives you good results.
I don't think it does.
But I think that, you know, when you're stretching yourself, that's where you're kind of like, it's like, that's that exciting moment of, am I going to sink or swim?
I know.
Right? And it'll all work out one way or the other.
It'll all work out.
But you have to push yourself for more sometimes. And if it's something that's going to make you feel good, then you can't put a value on that because that's what's your insides. That's what's making everything happen on the outside.
And I think just to clarify, it's, you know, because my meaningful mission is to serve 100 million lives weekly, I just don't think I can do it with just me or with a small team. I think it's going to take more people. If your meaningful mission isn't to expand something, you know, financially or in a business or career, then you don't have to stretch yourself in that thing. So it's why it's get clear on what that mission is for you right now of your life and expand in that way, whatever that is for you.
Yeah. Maybe your meaningful mission is to heal your inner wounds, which means you have to stretch yourself in those areas, right? You're going to maybe have to stretch yourself to do more therapies that cost a little bit more money, or there's different areas you're going to have to stretch
in. Or you just have to have uncomfortable conversations with your friends or family that you've, you know, been in pain with or struggling with, you know, and that's causing you to stretch emotionally.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I love the healing journey that you've been on.
It's a journey. It's not a destination. It's going to continue.
Do you still get re-triggered?
It's interesting. I was on a plane this last weekend and I was with my girlfriend. And we were at this beautiful like wedding ceremony. And so we get back on the plane to come back to LA. And there's a, there's a guy, there's still something in me that I think is just like innate. As like a protector, I think. But there was a guy who had a little tiny bag in the carry-on space or whatever, like in there. And all the other stuff was full. And I had like my carry-on and Martha's carry-on. So I was like, I moved some other space around so the hearse thing could fit. And then I had my bag and I go, excuse me, sir, is this your bag? You mind if I move it? Cause it's a tiny little bag in a big space. And he goes, yeah, it's my bag. You got a problem? And he like looks up to me. I go, I just wanted to see if I can move it so I can put my bag up here. He stands up in my face and he goes, is this going to be a problem?
No.
And I go, no. I'm like, am I being punked right now? Because I'm like asking so nicely. I'm just like, so there was something in me that got to be like, bro, chill. I'm just asking if I can put my bag up here.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I move it or would you like to move it? And then this the flight attendant comes up and stops him and says, is this going to be a problem to him? You need to calm down and sit down. Can we move your bag so we can fit it here? He goes, fine, whatever. Like, and so that, it kind of gave me a little something. I was like, if this was me 10 years ago, I probably would have reacted. Yeah. I probably would have been like, you know, swearing at him, pushing. Well, who knows?
Yeah.
Especially in front of my girl. Like, what are you trying to do? You know,
yeah.
All that stuff. And so it gave me a little feeling, but I stayed calm the entire time. I sat down and I go, this guy's in a lot of pain. I just thought to myself.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything nasty to him. I wanted to. I didn't like, you know, make some sly remark, but I was just like, this guy, I could see his energy. He's in a lot of pain. And it doesn't make it right what he did, but I can have compassion for that he's in pain and know that it has nothing to do with me. And it's funny because I'm like 10 minutes later, he looked across the aisle and he goes, excuse me, sir. I'm so sorry. That was my bad. So something snapped within him where he like came to and he's like, oh, I realized that I was being
injured. I know what happened. What happened is energetically you forgave him, right? You gave him permission to be able to apologize because people feel things, right? You didn't react to him. You didn't do anything. No. He was then shown in a sense with the other flight attendant that he was wrong. And so he had to sit with those thoughts and those feelings for that whole time.
It was probably eating him alive. It's probably like,
yeah, because he looked like a jerk. And
I,
so
and I was kind of like, what did I did nothing. I just asked you kindly, can I move your bag?
And he hasn't gone on his healing journey to heal his inner trauma. Exactly. When people, you know, for him, his traumas are probably around like his property, right? Like, you know, and so I know people who literally, if you touch anything of theirs, they literally go loony.
Exactly.
And so everyone's got their thing, but.
Everyone's got their thing. So it was a reminder and I was telling Martha afterwards, I go, that's interesting. Cause in the past I probably would have reacted and it doesn't mean I didn't feel something. I want to make sure I'm on guard where you know, if he tries to get up in my face, I'm going to be like, you know, you're going to punch me. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But I moved through it really quickly and I didn't hold on to it. Whereas the past, I'd be upset all day. It was like trying to abuse me or take advantage of me or whatever I was dealing with. And so it gave me, I feel like these are all just tests.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, are you really, you know, how much more do you need to do to overcome this? But, and I don't ask for those tests, but it's good to have every now and then to be like, okay, how am I going to show up and respond in this moment? Am I truly going to live my vision or am I going to live in my past and let my past pain dictate how I show up right now in the present? And it's just a practice, you know, it's healing's a journey.
It is.
It's a constant journey.
We're on one every day here. Every on day.
Squad. Yes.
Lewis, I have to ask, is there an emotional workshop that you suggest? Because of course I'm already like, I want to go. I've done Tony. I've done Dr. Joe. I've done all the different
I wouldn't say all of them, but I've done a lot of them, right? All the ones you've done. I feel like I've probably done most of those. And I'm always trying new stuff because I want to keep learning and growing. The workshop that I did is they're all around the world, but the one I did is in LA. It's called Mastery in Transformational Training. It's this emotional intelligence workshop. And I just feel like it accelerates the process faster. And there's a couple of exercises that you will do that you will remember forever. Mm-hmm. Like 10 years ago, I took this workshop. And I remember one specific exercise that I did, and my life was before and after that exercise, still today. And everything started to unlock. It didn't mean I was like a perfect human being. It just meant like, things started to unlock for me. And I started to have perspective in a different way. So yeah, that one's really powerful. But there's different workshops. I've heard about Landmark. I've never done that, but I heard that's a different style of emotional intelligence workshop. So yeah,
I'm going to do one.
It's powerful.
So with the book, what do you hope people get from this?
I hope people learn how to heal. And everyone's got to learn how to heal in their own way. I think everyone is a masterpiece. I think we're all masterpieces. But there are things that cause us to diminish our our light, our spark, our talent, our joy. And there was a lot of things that caused me to diminish mine and mask mine as something else. And it doesn't mean I wasn't effective at getting results, but I didn't know how to feel loved. And I didn't know how to truly love and accept myself. And I, in the last 2 years, have felt a deep sense of love from others and a deep sense of love for myself that I've never had in my life. And as a consequence, my business has grown exponentially. I'm, you know, expanding my space, my energy, my vision. I have more clarity. I have less pain. It doesn't mean I'm not perfect every day, but I have less frustration. I have less anger. And because of that, I can sleep at night peacefully. I can wake up with a smile on my face, not holding on to the past grudge. I move through things faster. I catch myself quicker. And I just feel like life begins when we start to heal. And the faster we can get on that journey, the better life will be.
Yeah, it's never too late either.
Exactly.
Guys, I marked so many pages in here that that were amazing. You guys are going to love, love, love this book. And like I said, I'm taking it on my next trip and I'm taking all the assessments and then I'm going to really draw out a vision. And I think it's going to take a second because like you said, I have a baby coming and
sure.
I think, you know, that's a whole complete life change that I have no idea, you know, what that's going to actually look like.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people want to figure out what their purpose is. And there's seasons of life where you don't have to find your purpose. You get to be purpose. And this might be a season for you where you are purpose by being a mother, by being a positive friend, by being a light into the world, whether it's with this show or something else. You don't always have to have like, I know exactly what I'm going to do for the next 3 to 5 years. You can be in a season of, I'm going to be purpose. That means I'm going to be light, love, and joy every day, every moment that I can be with my child, with my husband, with my friends, my family, with anyone that I interact with in the world. I'm going to be purpose and inspire others to be purpose as well. I think that is power, just as powerful as I know exactly what I'm going after. And every day I'm doing those steps to make it happen. Be purpose as well.
Yeah. Very cool. I like that. All right, friends. Great conversation. Great two-parter with Lewis House. I've wanted him on the show for a long time. And this book is so great. I highly, highly recommend it for all of you. It's a book for someone who is looking to find their purpose and their mission and go after it, but also how to heal. And so, like I said in the interview, I'm going to be taking these assessment classes or challenges in here to figure out where I'm at and where I want to go as well. It came perfectly timed because I've been thinking about this as well. And I think you guys will benefit from it too. Get it wherever books are sold. And in the meantime, be nice people, make good choices, and be present.